Paula Cole's new album is called Courage, and she has shown that in many ways lately. Originally from the North Shore of Massachusetts, Paula's career had a steady upwards trajectory, culminating in a Best New Artist Grammy in 1997 with her hit album, This Fire. Her next album was too much of a departure for her fan base, and after her fourth was rejected by her record company, she abandoned the music biz for a while, raising her daughter, Sky. It's been at least 6 years, and she is now back with a new album and a lot to talk about. We'll begin with this performance of Coming Down.
Greatness above and the smallness of me. So sees his life, into the glass he flies. The perfect partner he does spy, a moment's glance of eyes. Reflections of a future love, feel the pull of fate. The perfect love turned out to be himself in haste and vain. Passion's flash of red, they grow through all these tears. So nothing new appears. Reborn in this nadir. In your eyes I find, you are my love light. You are my love light. You are my love light. Blinded by surprise. You are my love light. You are my
Thank you.
Love Light and Coming Down, that's the way that Paula's new album begins, Courage. Now, when you left the music business, let's put it that way, and you were away for so long, did you leave music totally? Did you sing at all? Did you write at all while you were away?
I tried. I was still signed to Warner Brothers for a little while. I had my child, my daughter, and I tried to make another album for Warner Brothers. And in so doing, I recorded, I don't know, about 18 or 20 songs, first with Hugh Padgham, who did Police Synchronicity and early XTC, wonderful stuff. Mm. And that was really great. I still love those tracks. They're kind of in the coffers of Warner Brothers. I'm not allowed to touch them. And then I worked with Don Was a bit. And really, Don Was appeared in my life more as a shaman to say, you know, a lot of artists lose the best years of their life languishing at record companies that aren't recognizing them or helping them. And he was instrumental in my decision to leave Warner Brothers. That and just getting to a healthier place inside myself. I was doing a lot of Kundalini yoga at the time, and that helped make the decision easier, too.
Well, now, I guess the next part of the question is... Well, I remember talking to you at that time. I remember when Amen came out, and it was an album that bewildered your audience in ways. It was the R&B side of things and the hip-hop side of things. They weren't able to really accept it. And I remember at the time you were a little bit, you were kind of like a deer in headlights when I talked to you. It was like you weren't used to, I mean, you were used to, you know, a different kind of acceptance. And I say that because you produced yourself on That Fire and on that. And it's tough when it's your vision, you know?
Sure. I stand by it. I know that it came from an honest place, and I believe it stands the test of time. So it'll be one of those things that people will go back to. I think maybe it'll have its heyday much later. Yeah, there's many influences that comprise me, and I arrived at, I guess, a sense of spirituality later in life because I was raised with a scientist father and not in a religious household, and I had problems with religion, so considered myself, I don't know, atheist and...
Secular humanist. Probably
I don't know what you call this thing. But I arrived at it independently, and I wanted to write about it and sing about it, and that was... You know, that's uncomfortable, unless you're Deepak Chopra or Oprah or something, and you can. There's other mediums in which it's more acceptable, you know, but in music, even in hip-hop, it's more acceptable because, like, politics and spirituality, you know, say Bob Marley or Marvin Gaye or, various forms of hip-hop, they talk about it. Otherwise, it's very categorized and kind of stigmatized, and people have trouble when you are breaking boundaries like that.
Well, now, one of the things you say in some of the material is that this is a new Paula Cole, and there are only vestiges of the old Paula Cole. Mm. Because I remember seeing the old Paula Cole on stage in combat boots and shorts and sweating heavily, and you look like you're going to
sweating
the ball
heavily.
Today.
I caught that.
But you look like you're ready to go into the ball today. Can you really shed your skin as an artist?
Probably not. I mean, I try. I still feel like there's a skin hanging on, and I'm trying to shake it off, and that's because my divorce isn't final.
How come the album was named Courage?
Oh, Courage was a mantra to myself. I knew that the album would be called Courage. I knew that years ago. It was something that I would just write it. I'd find myself thinking about it in a free associative way. And I realized I need to call my album Courage because I want to say that word a lot to remember where I was when I was thinking about one day, you know, here I am homeless without a record deal. I'm depressed. I'm a mom. My kid is really asthmatic. We're going to the ER. And my music career felt very frivolous. And it also felt like the universe was just saying, no, no, no. I struggled so hard in being able to get back out there. And I was also in an unhappy marriage, as some of us make that choice, and we land ourselves, a lot of us, right? There's probably a few of us in this room, anyway.
I wouldn't. Anybody know anything about that? No, okay.
And we find ourselves in midlife, And we are reevaluating, and I was there, and I wanted to remember that, and I needed to get out of that unhappy spot. So that was my mantra, and I knew that the album had to be titled that. It was like my way out.
Paula Cole. More music and conversation in a moment as we find out who it was that encouraged Paula to get back in the game when we return to the World Cafe. This is the World Cafe, and Paula Cole is our guest. After many years away from the music biz, she is back with a new album called Courage. It was Bobby Colombi, the original member of Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and a producer who got Paula Cole to embrace the music biz again.
Bobby Colombi was like an angel in male form, in male homo sapien form. We met years ago at the Roxy. There was an earthquake when we met, and we huddled in a doorway together. I had just seen my show in 94, so that's when I was in the black boots and the nose ring and the short hair mode. And he related, and he thought, this girl's going to have an amazing career. I think he thought my career would be much better than what it was, but he understood. He was the original drummer for Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Remember that group? And they were very experimental, and he is a lover of Miles Davis, as am I, and we connected in that way. He then asked me a few years later, when I was enjoying that success of Where Have All the Cowboys Gone, la la la, to sing a standard on an album he was producing, and I very much have a love of jazz and a background in jazz. I lived in the real book, I went to Berklee College of Music, and I went in and learned a tune, because I didn't know it was called Call Me Irresponsible, and I learned the changes, and I improvised a bit with the changes, and he was impressed enough that I would do him that favor, and he thought to himself, I'm going to help her one day. And little did I know that he was extremely well-connected in the music business and a producer in his own right, a fascinating Renaissance man. So fast forward, he's producing Chris Botti, and he asks me, why don't you come sing on Chris Botti's record? Okay. I hadn't been singing. I was just a mom and hermit in my cave, and it was wonderful to sing those old chestnuts in the Capitol A room where Nat King Cole and Frank Sinatra sang, and there I am live, making live music, and it's fun again, because I was so wounded by the music business, and it was wonderful to be making live music and having fun again. And he gently coaxed me out with these Chris Botti records. And those Chris Botti records started going gold. and I was singing more. And he said, do you want to make an album together? And I said, yes. And he produced me. So I didn't produce myself, which was very healthy. And he got me to co-write, which was very healthy, because all of that before was a very controlled, hermetic process. And he opened me up. And he got me to make this beautiful album, which is really a collaborative album.
Well, not only co-writing, but a lot of different people on it, the different singers, Yvonne Linz, mm-hmm. I'm trying to think who else is on here, Paul Buchanan, the great singer from the Blue Nile, and other folks. And this great band, you should introduce these folks before you can go a step further.
Yes, as I'm reinventing my career, I now have a very beautifully handpicked band. So let me introduce these amazing players. Now, on guitar, he is also the co-author of several of the songs on Courage. This is Mark Goldenberg on guitar. And I met our beautiful bass player through Chris Botti when he was playing with Chris, and he is a musical soulmate. This is John Osman on the bass. Finally, I got to play with this drummer again. I know him from my Berklee College of Music days when he was at New England Conservatory. He played with me in my senior recital in college. This is the incredible Ben Whitman on drums. And last but not least, I'm blown away by her. I wish I had my stuff together at age 26 like this young woman does. She's from Toronto. She has a career in her own right. The prodigious Lila Bialy on piano, keyboards, and vocals.
And Paula Cole playing live today, and more music from Courage.
One of the songs that was composed for Courage, we had Herbie Hancock play on the song, and our intention was to write a contemporary standard. And the song is called Lonely Town.
spin the globe, stop and start, come to a place that's torn apart. Here's a secret, it's my heart, oh well, it's only broken shutters, whistling wind, vultures circling overhead.
Lila Bial.
Paula Cole is live on the World Cafe today, and that's Lonely Town. Paula, I have this vision about 50 years from now, when the hip young kids are discovering that archaic format, the CD, and getting turned on to right. Anthem.
Right.
You know, they'll rediscover Anthem at the piano bar, which they'll probably still have. They'll be playing that song in New Standard. That's beautiful. What was it like to... I mean, do you suggest chords to Herbie Hancock, or what was that like?
No. actually, I was purely a lyricist on A Lonely Town, which was a new experience for me, and it was interesting to, almost enter the Brill Building of my mind and put on a craft maker's hat of songwriting and approach lyric writing. I know so many standards, and I was trying to appreciate the heart side of Rodgers and Hart, you know? And for every syllable, there being the perfectly fitting word, economy. It's hard.
It must be fun, though. Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Now, you say it was an unusual thing. It's new for you to collaborate, whether it's Mark or whether it's Herbie. What was your feelings about it before?
Well, before I would just write in my hermitude at my piano in my room, and I would have the insecurity once I would unveil the whole song, whereas now I would have the insecurity immediately with a new idea. And, you know, sometimes ideas wouldn't be that well received and I would need to go back to the drawing board, and that was healthy for me to be kind of pushed that way.
Could it happen right in the session when you're working with somebody and they just say, oh, no, try this? And
Yes, but I really took my homework home more of the time. Now, I need to mention that it was Jeremy Lubbock who was the writer of the music for Lonely Town. And that it sounds very different from you know, material I would normally do, and I was purely the lyricist in that capacity.
We're going to let things continue here. 14. What was the... talk a little bit about the significance of this.
That's me wrestling with my diffidence. That's what just seems to be a theme through my life. And I was looking back with some melancholy at a relationship, and now that I'm a little older and I know that one must be responsible for one's own happiness, I was looking back with some regret at a relationship that I handled poorly, I think, you know, and I was 14 with this, and I was 15 with that, and I was 16 with my ego, and I felt that way about myself. At the same time, by the end of the song, I know that I'm feeling pretty squished down in this relationship, and there's some volcano needing to come out.
That's in three verses, I think. This is Paula Cole.
My passion, 15 with my best,
That's 14 from the new album Courage, and our thanks to Paula Cole for joining us live on the World Cafe today. Support for the show is provided by the members of the World Cafe affiliates nationwide. Those include WFIT in Melbourne, Florida, and KUMD in Duluth, Minnesota. Shows produced at WXPN from the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. Our website is always there for you. In fact, if you miss an interview, you will find it more than likely in our archived audio at worldcafe.npr.org. I'm David Dye, and this is The World Cafe.